Together with you, wrapping up a very busy week, busy show Friday, May 21st, 2021 on Connecticut Today. We were joined by our buddy Jim Cameron, who writes the Getting There column for Hearst Connecticut Media in the 5 o'clock hour to chat about the latest commuter trends and issues. Kim Fiorello, Republican state rep from Fairfield County, chimed in at 5:30 regarding the passage of a weakened bill that would give the state some purvey over local zoning issues. And I also had a few thoughts about the Hearst Connecticut media papers coming out and recognizing in a lead editorial the good job that Governor Ned Lamont is doing at running the state and holding off the far left members of his party. You remember, it was last week, I think. May have been the week before. It was recently. It was recent enough that I remember doing it, which these days is pretty good. The Hartford Courant's lead editorial, and for whatever reason you think about it or believe it or not, the Hartford Courant is still kind of the flagship newspaper of the state, even though they're being threatened with massive job cuts now that I guess Alden, a hedge fund group, is going to take them over. Anyway, private equity firm. The Courant last week or the week before put out a pretty pointed editorial telling legislative Democrats, hey, back off on all these tax increases. They're not really necessary. You know, the extra increases they're proposing on, higher income people, the mansion tax, tax on this, tax on that, tax on, you know, capital gains. And the Courant said, you know, this is not the time. To which I said kudos to the Courant, because the Courant, face it, it's got at least in their editorial slant, the people that write editorials there for the Courant, some of whom I've met over the years and talked to, it's a left-leaning newspaper because we are in a left-leaning blue state. There's no, you know, there's no surprise over that. So I click on, I used to say open up the paper. Who opens up the paper anymore, right? I digitally open up the paper this morning, and I see the lead editorial, not by a guest editorialist, not by a high-ranking state Republican, but the editorial written by the Hearst Connecticut Media Group. Yes, the lead editorial in the Connecticut Post, the New Haven Register, the Stanford Advocate, the Norwalk Hour, all the Hearst-owned papers, big and small, across the state. Editorial says, quote, I don't want to raise taxes, unquote. We agree, Governor. Oh, my God, how about this? Last week or the week before, again, everything's a fog to me these days. But recently, shall I say, we heard that from the Hartford Courant, now the Hearst papers. And part of the editorial says, if you haven't read it, he may not be the most popular governor with progressives in his party these days, but we at Hearst Connecticut Media Group commend him for looking out for the entire state's welfare by resisting income and sales tax hikes. He told Hearst Connecticut Media recently, I don't want to raise taxes just to raise taxes and punish people, unquote. Good for you, Governor, and good on Hearst for bringing this to the point. And Hearst goes on here, and I don't know who wrote this, whoever did, it's perfectly phrased. This could have been from a right-leaning newspaper. It makes so much sense. This is a bad moment for the Democrats who control the General Assembly to make Connecticut even more expensive and to punish success. Just when our suburbs are getting cool again, we don't want to scare away the well-to-do coming to us from New York City for our yards, schools, and slightly lower taxes. Yes. This is making my loins quiver. It's so good. Paper continues, or the site continues. People do flee high-tax states, according to data from moving companies. to lose many more of Connecticut's high earners, and their income tax revenue would clearly backfire. This state is just starting to climb out of the deep economic hole it dug for itself over decades. Please don't kick the ladder out from under Connecticut, Democrats. Amen, hallelujah. Good for Hearst for putting a finger, you know, waving a finger. I'm not saying being obscene, waving a finger saying no, no to the Democratic delegations from Bridgeport and from New Haven and from Hartford, who couch everything now in this, well, you need more taxes because of equity. You need this because of equity. We need pot because of equity. And I'm telling you, I've said it before because I frankly don't care what people think because it's the truth. We have taken the tragic death of George Floyd last year, and we have taken that. And that, of course, done by a clearly sick officer who was coddled by a clearly corrupt police department in a blue Democratic city for years. And we have taken back and we've now done everything is equity now, whether it's pot or whether it's zoning or whether it's, you know, new taxes. And we've suddenly taking the memory of George Floyd and what happened with George Floyd, and we're now using that as a cavalier rubber stamp to simply say, well, we need to raise more taxes because now is the time. How sick are you folks? Maybe you're sick as I am saying, well, if not now, when? No, not now. And maybe never when. You don't try and parlay a clear tragedy in someone's life and in someone's family into your cockamamie proposals, whether it's defund the police, which most cities don't want, especially people who live in black and Hispanic neighborhoods who want to have a decent area to live. You don't do it for that, and you don't do it for, you know, the ongoing thirst, the genetic predisposition by some to want to raise taxes. So good for the current a little while ago. Good for Hearst now for at least calling out the governor's reluctance, and it's a fine reluctance, to tell some of the leftist nutters in his party, no, now is not the time you raise taxes. Just when things are getting good. By train, our buddy, our pal Jim Cameron joins us once again. We'd like to check in with Jim about once every month or so. His latest column a few days ago in the Connecticut Post, the Hearst Media Papers. Hey, Jim, it's Paul. How are you, sir?
Paul, how are you?
I'm good, and I had to chuckle now. Jim, you and I are in the business. Obviously, a lot of people don't know that a lot of times when we have worked for print publications, we don't decide on the headline for a piece. This goes back to my day as a sports writer. You do this stuff now. So I don't know who did this. Maybe it was you, but whoever came up with getting there, Connecticut DOT hearings won't change anything. I loved it, Jim. That was the best laugh I had all day, because I think you're right, Jim. I think you're right. What's going on here?
Well, you know, the Department of Transportation held the first of four public hearings this week. There's one more chance next week to kind of, I don't know what, retroactively look at decisions that had already been made in reducing train and bus service. You know, they're supposed to hold these hearings before they do those things so that they can hear from the public and, who knows, maybe even change their mind if there's enough opposition. But, of course, during pandemic, the governor had certain powers and, you know, they reduced train service. Overall, train service on Metro North was reduced something like 47%. More on some branch lines, you know, less on the weekends. But that was because nobody was riding the train. Now, the question is, are passengers coming back? Are they going to be back on the train going to their jobs in New York City or communities in Connecticut? And why are they holding hearings on something that happened 6 months ago rather than focusing on how do we reopen the state? How do we get commuters back on the trains?
Maybe because Zoom hearings are a lot of fun, Jim, could that be it? Or they were just exhausted from debating whether pizza, as you point out, is the official food of Connecticut.
Well, that's our lawmakers, and that's a whole other ball of wax. You know, they seem to be, you know, focused on important things like, is pizza the state food? Rather, as you were hinting at a moment ago, the zoning questions, legalizing gambling, legalizing marijuana. But this is the DOT. Now, the DOT had to check the box and said, yes, we held public hearings on this issue. And I didn't write the headline. My editors did, you know. Nothing will change as a result of these hearings.
It's perfect.
Because it's already changed. Now, I should point out that there are a couple of proposals that have yet to be acted upon.
Okay, like what?
They want to reduce some commuter bus service into Hartford and into New Haven. And I believe I was unable to attend all 12 grueling hours of these Zoom hearings. I'm told that at the first hearing, there were two people that showed up to Zoom and offer their opinions, and they were mostly talking about the bus schedule. So I've been neglectful. I have not had time to waste to sit through the other hearings. But they may actually do something. You know, I used to go up to Hartford at least once a year to testify in front of the legislature on various bills that were being considered that were going to affect the trains. I'm a commuter advocate. I'm up there trying to give voice to commuters because commuters don't have a day to waste and go up to Hartford, drive to Hartford, wait for their number in the lottery, sit through 3 hours of other people's testimony, get 3 minutes. You get 3 minutes, folks, to talk to your lawmakers. And then an egg timer goes off and they say, thank you very much. Next. Well, it's a little more convenient now with these Zoom sessions. And I think that's good because it makes it more accessible. But this assumes that anybody's listening, anybody cares, and any of the decisions that have been made that these hearings are about will be changed. And I'm sorry, I've been at this for a few years, and I can count on the fingers of less than one hand the number of times that public hearings have actually resulted in a change in something before it was implemented.
And Jim, it's sad because that, and you and I have talked about this before, that, my friend, is what builds the now ingrained cynicism in, as you say, not just this, but gambling and taxes and marijuana and zoning. And people just, you know, a lot of people just throw their hands up in the air and say, yeah, whatever, what's on TV tonight? Yeah.
Paul, that's your bread and butter. If it wasn't for the cynicism in this state,
I wouldn't have a job.
What would you be talking about? You know? I mean, I listened to Kelly Quinn do the traffic reports.
Yeah.
I drove past 95 just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Your listeners are sitting in bumper to bumper traffic.
I know.
All the way from the New York State line, probably up and you know, certainly beyond Bridgeport, maybe all the way to New Haven.
Yeah.
And the question is, well, first of all, hey, folks, why are you sitting in that traffic? Why aren't you on the train? And is the answer to that because the train service is not as robust as it used to be? The trains run too slowly? Let's deal with the issues that affect commutation rather than going back and saying, okay, please offer your public opinion on a decision we made 6 months ago that we can't change.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, in the couple of minutes we have left, couple of things. First of all, now that New York City is kind of opening up, you know, my son works on Broadway and he told me the other day, we may actually be mid-September. Some shows are going to open again. You know, the Knicks are going to have 15,000 people in the Garden this weekend for their playoff game. Restaurants are reopening. Is Metro North adjusting their service again, Jim, to say, hey, life begins again or not? Have you heard anything on that?
Only anecdotally, and the answer, I think, is no. I've heard from people that on the weekends where the ridership was coming back stronger than on weekdays, weekend ridership There was one Saturday somebody was on a train going into New York City, and there were both Yankees and Ranger fans on that train. And they were just partying. They were passing bottles around.
Drinking?
Nobody
drinking?
Nobody was wearing a mask. That's the thing that bugged her.
Yeah.
Nobody was wearing a mask. And how do I know if they've been vaccinated? Masks are not optional on the trains, as they might be in some workplaces
restaurants. Yeah.
They're required by the federal government, by the Transportation Security Agency. And, you know, are we going to get people back on the trains if the only way we're going to do that is to make them feel safe? And if they say people not wearing masks and conductors not doing anything, that's not going to make them feel safe.
Hey, Jim, fine.
I think they've got to adjust the schedules. They've got to add more trains to the busy times.
Mm, and a final issue here, Jim. Two areas that are kind of ancillary areas, but I know they soak up money. What is the DOT saying, Jim, about two kind of lines that people aren't in some parts of the state, in particular in Fairfield County, don't realize are there? The commuter bus line, the Hartford to New Britain line, and also the north-running New Haven to Springfield rail line. Are these things still running in the red? Are they adjusting the schedules? What have you heard on that?
They will always run in the red. If they were trying to, well, first of all, ridership is down. It's down on what they call the Hartford line, which runs from New Haven through Hartford up to Springfield. That's brand new. It was opened, I guess, maybe a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Brand new stations, etc. And it's found an audience, but until the traffic gets so horrendous that people don't want to deal with I-91, as we have to deal with I-95, that ridership is going to be down. Those are public services. Even Metro North, when the trains were standing room only, was still losing money on every train ticket.
Wow.
There's no profit to be made in running mass transit, whether it's a train or a bus. If there was, let's privatize those services. The New Haven Railroad went bankrupt, and that's why these services are run by the state and by Metro North. No, the ridership is coming back very slowly, and the question is, will it come back if people have to go back to the office? If they don't have to go back to the office 5 days a week, maybe they go in 2 or 3 days a week, what's going to happen to traffic? How is traffic going to respond? How much tolerance do we have for the kind of Friday night traffic we're seeing right now, Paul, on a regular basis if people choose to drive instead of taking the train?
As always, Jim Cameron, thank you. Jim Beguna, we'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
All right, Paul. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You too, sir. Jim Cameron, he writes the Getting There columns for Hearst Connecticut Media, Connecticut Post, and all that. A commuter advocate, and oh, do we need one. Visit to get a little more into where do we stand now with this zoning bill, this bill that squarely had Fairfield County in its crosshairs as a bullseye. State Rep Kim Fiorello is with us again. Hey, Kim, it's Paul. How are you?
How are you, Paul? Thanks so much for having me on, and hi to everyone.
Well, I'm glad you could make it, Kim, because I know, in fact, I was doing a million things here at the station, and I was watching some of the debate yesterday in the House. I saw you up there adding your voice to the debate. So it looks like, Kim, that the Democratic-controlled House passed this, but it seems a bit watered down from what they really wanted. What's the skinny here?
I think that is probably true. You know, we saw the spate of bills and the things that were just the most scary to dictating how towns should be developing are not in this bill, and thank God for that. And that really is a credit to the people of Connecticut. I mean, the spate of bills came out on the premise that local zoning decisions in our state today are being made, you know, actively on to racially segregate communities. And this context just outraged the good people of Connecticut from all walks of life and backgrounds and races. It was just too much for the people of Connecticut to be put upon like this. And, you know, they responded by reading the bills. People understood 1024, 6611, 6107. They understood the details. They started emailing and calling legislators. They spoke to their own zoning officials who were Democrats. and Republicans. And it truly was a bipartisan or nonpartisan pushback. And what passed is not the stuff that was the most toxic. But I think ultimately the conversation needs to be about where does our state stand on decision-making? Do we believe in best decision-making locally, closest to the people? Or are we a, you know, top-down, everything comes as dictates from on Hartford? And given that we don't have county-level government, for many of us, Hartford is far away. Hartford doesn't know each of our towns. So they said, you know, this is incrementalism. They're going to be back at this trying to dismantle local zoning decisions. There was an opt-out in this so that towns do have, you know, some room to decide, like, if this doesn't fit our town, then we can opt out. So those are all good things that the people of Connecticut can really celebrate. I've always said all of their power derives from us. And what greater evidence do we have than to see in such a complex and technical area as zoning, when the people spoke out, it made a difference.
And Kim, hang on. I want to take a quick break here, and I want to come back and talk a little about that opt-out in the bill, because to me, that sounds like a little self-preservation here. Kim Fiorello is with us, Republican state rep. More with Kim straight ahead. Kim, stand by. Traffic and weather together, 5:36 on WICC. A couple of more minutes with Greenwich Republican state rep Kim Fiorello joining us to talk a little bit more about this bill that now was approved in the House. Overwhelming majority there, goes now to the state Senate. The governor likely to sign it. Kim, when I read about this opt-out, to me, the thing that kind of makes my antenna go up about that, it's, well, you know, if certain cities or towns don't want it, they can opt out. That sounds to me like, oh boy, we want to avoid the political blowback here. So if we're going to lose House or Senate seats, you know, regarding this, you know, we'll let those cities or towns that are already blue, right, stay there. We'll let anybody else step out here. You know, there seems to me, Kim, a little bit of self-preservation here, at least at this point.
Possibly, for sure. You said it was, overwhelming majority. Well, they have an overwhelming majority. Yeah. But, you know, there were 8 Democrats that voted with the Republicans, and that should be a headline because that never happens. And I would have thought there were more because this truly was a nonpartisan issue. But I think let's celebrate that the understanding that this was not great policy was a bipartisan understanding. But, yes, the opt-out, I think the opt-out is great that it's there. You have to have 2/3. Maybe that's too high of a hurdle. But, ultimately these mandates, we don't want mandates. You know, every time politicians run, we say there are too many unfunded mandates, too many mandates. And to me, it's a little bit like that scene from Harry Potter, the Order of the Phoenix, that I watch with my kids, that one scene with Dolores Umbridge, and all she's doing is tacking up more bills on the wall. I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan.
Well, my son was. He read every book 3 times and saw every movie, so I trust you on that. Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's what the people of Connecticut live with. You know, I'm new up there, but wow, we are passing bills left and right that are just creating so many new rules that we all have to live under. And it almost makes me think there's no rule of law here. I mean, there's so many rules we pass. I think it's going to be a miracle if you and I wake up and we're not breaking a rule by stepping out to pick up our newspapers.
You know, finally, Kim, you know, you mentioned this earlier about people really reacting to this with phone calls and virtual Zoom hearings and emails. And we talk about it so often, I do in my callers here on the show, and a lot of people, Kim, you can understand, are a little cynical. They say, well, you know, what I say really doesn't matter, and they're going to do what they want anyway. But it certainly sounds, Kim, like on some of these hot-button issues, if enough people react to them, it may not stop the issue completely, but a certain amount of lawmakers certainly get an earful, and they may have to pay attention here to at least some degree.
Yes, a lot of these issues, I wish people had the time to pay attention to everything that Hartford is up to, but we simply can't. We all have lives to live. But some really hit on a gut instinct level. And this zoning didn't resonate with everyone, but for those who have experience with zoning, who have volunteered on their local boards, who understand land use and private property and home rule, for them, they really got it. And they came out passionately, and thank God for them. They spoke on behalf of the rest of us who are busy working and raising our children. And don't we take turns in all of that, right? There was a whole bunch of people who came out against tolls. And to me, we should all take hope, because they govern over us with our consent. And we have to assert ourselves. That is definitely something I say. But I really think, as we go forward, I hope that we continue to document the amazing things that towns are doing for affordable housing. Let's keep track and put out in the public sphere so that people understand. The people of Connecticut are creative. We know that we need middle housing for our elderly, for divorcees, for young people. We know our needs. We also struggle under an economy that's tough. We also struggle with high, you know, electricity costs. This is all interrelated, mm-hmm. but we care. And towns do come up with ways to address the needs of their people. And I say, let's put that out there. You know, send it to CT169 if your town is doing new inclusionary zones, new land trusts, whatever you're doing that is a great idea. We should keep learning from each other. That's actually what's so great about self-rule and having such localized governing. We have the opportunity for creative governance, and we should share the information. And that's what I hope for going forward in terms of affordable housing and every other bill that we're seeing out there.
And the website again, Kim, give that out, because I have given it out before just to keep people aligned with what's going on here. What's that website again?
Absolutely. This is a grassroots group. It's ct169strong.com. And, everyone should go check them out. They will continue to stay active, I'm sure. They've also posted issues about schooling, education issues here. Sorry, it's ct169strong.org.
Okay, cool. All right,
yeah.
ct169strong.org. Kim Fiorello, good to hear from you. Kim, have a good weekend. We'll chat down the road. Kim Fiorello, Republican State Rep. Kim, thanks. Be good.
Thank you so much. Have
Appreciate
a great weekend.
It. You too. Thanks, Kim. All right, there you go. ct169strong.org.